Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
What a declaration this morning. It is well. It is well with my soul. Despite what might be going on around me, the battle that you might be facing or in the midst of right now, to stand in faith and to let your soul catch up and sing and declare that our God is good and that it is well with my circumstances, even though you're not in control and you don't know the outcome. It's singing, soul, sing that, declare that, declare how good my God is. And I'm going to sing, I'm not going to sing, don't worry. I just said, I'm not going to sing. Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. I want you to let God refresh your soul this morning. I'm going to pray for you. I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. And I don't know their situation or circumstance, God, but you do. And I pray that in the battle, in the weary nights, God, in the restlessness, I pray that there'd be a quiet place in their soul, that you'd meet them, Holy Spirit, and that they could declare and sing those words freely. It is well with my soul. We trust you this morning, God, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to see you this morning. Aren't you lucky I didn't sing, hey? Oh. You can tell I'm not on the creative team for a reason. They let me have a microphone, but not to sing. So why don't you turn around and welcome somebody and grab a seat? Good. Hey, isn't our creative team just incredible? They are amazing. Not only do they sing us in worship, the ones that are working behind the scenes, our tech guys, and do you know what? I need a shout out to Jill. Jill Milton is an incredible woman. I know. Not only did she give up her Mother's Day, she was here yesterday as well, putting up all the decorations and making it look beautiful for your church. She's an incredible woman, isn't she? We love you, Jill. While you're hiding up the back. We love you. And we love all the mums. We love all, not even just mum. We love all the women. And guys, we do love you too. But today's not about you, unfortunately. Sorry. It's about the women today. We'll celebrate you in September. We'll wait. But today, I just wanted to have a cuppa with two amazing women. And I could have a cuppa with all of you women because you're all incredible. And we're just wanting to celebrate doing life sometimes. In the days, they're pretty ordinary, but you are an extraordinary. You are extraordinary women who love God, who help love your children, help walk alongside your husbands and leave families. And there's some of you here that you may not have those things, but you speak into other women. You speak into the generations. You encourage and we honor you and we thank you for you. We thank you that you're here this morning and we thank you that you're part of our incredible church. So good. All right, let's get started. So my first person, beautiful guest, and this morning, do you know what, in the 8 o'clock I realised I went to go and get one of these. It's on blue tack. So I won't be pretending to have a cuppa. Okay. So my beautiful guest this morning, first up is the Lizzie Zare. She is wonderful. She's married to Dan and look, we've even got her youngest on the front row, Indy. Little Indy, and you're also the mum to Lola, who's probably in the creche,
yeah,
right?
Downstairs yeah. Crying, yeah.
Downstairs crying, love yeah. That. Love those seasons, right? When they're, you can't reason with them, they just cry. They just cry and you've got to go with it. Liz, you are an incredible woman. You are full of faith. There's so much depth about you. And Liz is a woman that, you know, when she speaks, you're just like, I'm going to listen to what she says because there's just this wisdom and depth about you and this, and I think it's just been the journey that you've done and the closeness that you've hung on to God through all the different seasons in your life. So we're so honoured to have you here.
Thanks, bro.
And I want you to put up, we're going to put up a little photo. I want you to tell us because Liz is in the trenches, in the depths, right, of that mothering season of sleepless nights and a toddler and a baby. Yep. We love those seasons. Yes, we do. Amen. We do love those seasons. But Liz, can you tell us, do you have a highlight or a funny story that you could share with us this morning?
I do have a funny, so I've got lots when you have a toddler and a newborn, but promise not to judge me. There's a lot of people here after I tell this story, but this was when I was in my newborn toddler era when I just had Indy, and I thought I'm gonna take all the kids out to the beach. So in my head, Brookie, you know, I had this picture. I was gonna be sitting in the sun with my friend having a coffee. Lola's gonna be playing, Indy's gonna be fast asleep. Reality, yeah. Both kids crying, losing it at the beach. So I was, you know, doing those with Indy, trying to play with Lola. Anyway, in the end, Indy finally falls asleep. I thought, I'll park her at, because I was at the bus, Merriweather bus, I'll park her at the ramp. You know, the ramp that goes down? Don't judge. I parked her at the ramp. I locked it. She was all, you know, locked in as well. I was safety first, but anyway. So I went down, played with Lola, and then all of a sudden I see all these people like running, and I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, I keep talking to my friend, and then I see my friend's face, and she starts running, and it took me a couple seconds. When I turned over, my whole pram was in the sand. It had completely, like, off the ramp, collapsed into the sand. And Indy was inside anyway. Sorry, Indy. She was fully strapped in. We all looked inside and she was like, you know, fully asleep. But it was one of my quality mummy moments. Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah,
hey, I know you're all right. Laughing. We've all got a funny story too. I'm sure. I think I know someone's dropped their child before. I know those stories. Don't worry. On my watch, my child head first down a few stairs and... Nice big bruise. That's one that you can keep and tell Indy,
yes,
when she's older.
Yes,
Yeah. Definitely.
Hopefully it'll be funny, yeah.
It will be. I'm sure it'll be funny. Don't worry. I'm pretty sure you'll probably have some more fun, funny moments in your parenting journey, Liz. Yes. And Lizzie's moved here to Australia from Malaysia. How many years ago, Liz, did you move here?
About 8 years now.
Eight years. That's gone so fast. Yeah. Can you tell us, what was it like leaving your family? Because you got... beautiful parents, yeah. Joe and Stella Romeo, yeah. Their pastor, C3 and KL, and living your sister, and just leaving what was familiar for you. Yeah. How did you go moving here for love, for Mr. Daniel Zare, leaving it all behind? You're a lucky guy, Dan Zare, let me just say that.
Yeah, so I moved to Newcastle just a month before I got married, and so I knew nobody except that guy and... his family. I just knew the Zares at that point. And it was, everything was completely new, every sphere of my life. You know, I had just been married. I quit my job in Malaysia to move here. I was helping Dan lead young adults in a church that I was new in. And I was trying to make new friends and build my life from scratch. So I wouldn't recommend it. You know, there was a lot of change very early on when we were just married. It was hard on our marriage too, early days. But I think at the start too, Brookie, you know, there was just so much disappointment with my not meeting my expectations. And I found that it wasn't just being away from my family, my support system, but I felt like I had lost a bit of my identity and my purpose, and there was just a lot of unrest, in internal unrest. So, yeah, with a big transition like that,
it's massive, and especially in a transition, you can, whether or not it's physically moving or whether or not you're stepping out into something that's unknown. Mm. When you take that step, Liz, and you can try to, you know, look back over your shoulder and go, oh, that I want to be back there because that's totally familiar, that's safe, that's comfortable. But God's actually going, no, I actually want you here. I want you to step out and trust me and step out into the new that he has for you. Yeah. And I know for you, you said that you struggled a little bit with the identity and disappointment. How did you trust God in that?
Well, it was, like you said, just trying to find my identity in Christ again, and not just in my nationality or my family, and even in motherhood, like going back to God and finding what God, the person that God was wanting me to be now. You know, like you said, I did long for what I had back then or who I was back then, but I felt God saying, no, I don't need you to be that Lizzie anymore. I don't need you to be there anymore. I need you to trust me in the now. And I remember one New Year's Day, I was sitting with God, and you know how God just nails you where you feel like, oh, I'm just, you know, praying about it, but God just nails me and tells me, Lizzie, it's time for you to plant. Time for you to plant and let go. And I really, yeah, and once I did that, you know, I felt God just opening up lots of new things for me, Brookie. That's what, yeah, helped me trust. And also, I will say, what also helped me was men and women further down the line, mothers, grandmothers that came alongside of me and championed me, encouraged me, spoke life and purpose into me. Those, you know, those women, and I can look out now and see so many of your faces, they are the ones that really helped me through my journey. Yeah.
I love that. Isn't it a beautiful picture of the body of the Christ, the church family coming around and encouraging and supporting? And I want to tell you, church, don't ever underestimate the words that you speak or the help that you think, oh, I'm just doing this, or I'm just folding your washing, or I'm just mowing your lawn. Like Mark said last week, you don't realize the impact that that has on somebody's life. So keep speaking, keep being the church, because you do that so beautifully, our church. And a bit like Lizzie, I can relate to that. My family were overseas as well when I had small children, and just people that would come around and encourage and support is amazing. So keep loving one another, church. Keep being the church in Acts, because that's when they did in the early church. They started. So keep doing that. Liz, how do you do it? How do you juggle it? Because doesn't she look amazing? Every Sunday I see Lizzie at church, I'm like, Liz just looks like she's just, you know, stepped out looking
Dances
incredible.
Me at home, so. Yeah.
But you do. Sorry. You look amazing. You've got two young girls. You run your own ballet business, and you're releasing Dan for his work and his ministry. How do you juggle it? Do you have any tips for us? For all of us that are struggling over here to, you know, get it all together?
I'm going to need something in that cup before I can dive into to that topic. But I honestly struggle in that area. I find it quite challenging in my life trying to juggle and navigate, you know, having young kids and doing all of that. But I think before I even try to juggle, I always step back and discern the season that I'm in first, Brookie. And so just being able to identify and see what God's placed in front of me in terms of our call and work and kids, and then, you know, being able to, number one, I have perspective. Number two, then I have focus. So I'm not trying to do all the other things that don't require me to do in this season. And then another thing is partnership, because that absolutely multiplies my little effort of juggling. And it's almost like, you know, when you're juggling all these balls, and you need to have people there as you're juggling, and so that when you drop the ball, they can then catch that ball and then hold it for a little bit while you gather yourself, and then toss it back to you to keep going. So I think that partnership and really discerning the season that
you're
in.
That's so good, yeah. Lizzie. Because it's easy, isn't it? When people ask you to do things, you're like, yep, I'll do that. Yep, I'll do that. Yep, I'll do that. And then you're like, oh, I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
So it's so wise to discern this season. And I know you've mentioned it to me before, Liz. There's some things that, as a family, that you guys put in place that you like to protect your time and have downtime as a family, and you do that in a Sabbath, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we used to, you know, we'll have a big term or a big month. Okay, we'll gear up. Everybody just stay put. We've got a big month ahead of, you know, weekends busy and weekdays busy, and then we'll we'll have downtime at the end of it, go away and like not do it. But by the time we get there, I'm like falling apart and I'm angry and I'm, why do you, you know? So instead of doing that, we've recently been doing a weekly Sabbath. So at the end of the week, we have time together as a family and slow down and we prioritize that. So yeah.
So good, Lizzie. Because how many of us, I'm included, you go on a holiday and you need a holiday from the holiday.
Yep.
You come back and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, that didn't refresh me at all. Nope. I need another holiday.
Absolutely.
Amen, Nathan. I need another holiday. Just so you know. Okay. Liz, your mum is a beautiful mum. And is there anything that she's instilled into you, or is there anything that you admire from her that you want to sow into your girls?
Yeah, I miss my mum. She's in Malaysia today. But one thing that she's instilled in me that I do now is generosity around the table. And that looks like family together when we're eating. Really good food, you got to have good food, and also sharing with others. So those three things, and Dan and I prioritize having dinner together every night when we can, even with Lola there chucking tantrums and things, but we prioritize eating as a family, sitting down and doing that. And another thing that I would love to pass to my kids, Brooke, is discernment and prayer. I just think in this, you know, today, navigating the world today, they are going to need the Holy Spirit big time. And I'm going to need the Holy Spirit to fill the gaps for me. And I just, you know, love looking at all the kids are here, because in this atmosphere is where we cultivate the discernment and the presence of God and hearing from God. So, yeah, that's...
It's beautiful, yeah. Liz. And I think that's what an amazing gift or legacy that you can teach your children, to hear the Holy Spirit, to discern and hear His voice, because there's so many voices speaking into our kids and our young adults out there in the world. So that's so important, but so amazing that you're intentionally doing that, Liz, as a mum. And don't ever underestimate the days of small children and speaking into them. And one thing that someone said to me, and I want to tell you, Liz, and for all the mums out there with small children, like, the days seem long when they're sleeping and chucking trims, but the years go fast. So enjoy the beautiful season of the young children. And I love, Liz, that you've trusted God, that you've dug deep, and that you found your identity and purpose in God. So we love you, Liz.
Thanks.
Thank you for having a cuppa with me,
yeah.
Even though I pretend cuppa.
Thank you.
We'll have a real cuppa later, Lizzie. Isn't she amazing? Well done, Danza. You married a good one. Okay, my next beautiful guest that I get to share a cup of tea with is the beautiful Robin O'Brien. Robin, you would see her every Sunday. She's out on the veranda. Taking your coffee in the freezing cold. We're going into the freezing cold. But she's got two adult daughters, Brittany and Taylor. And Robin just loves God, but you love the church, Robin. You would do anything for the church. And I've seen this over the many years of working with you, Robin. There's different things, like Robin just does all the things that behind the scenes and just to make church happen. And you are an incredible woman, Robin, and we love you. Don't we? Yeah. Go, Michelle. I want to ask you, Robbie, you've got two adult daughters. What is there a highlight that you girls have had as a family?
Yes. So definitely for me, my highlight was when we got to go to New York about 5 years ago. And we flew out 2 days after Christmas, so all the Christmas decorations were up and the big Christmas tree, and it was snowing, and it was magical. And honestly, every single day I was there, I loved it, and I just was so grateful for that time that we got. Yeah, it was.
And look
fantastic.
At the photo.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It snowed, and it was just, yeah.
Has anyone had
beautiful.
A white Christmas in New York?
Yeah.
Don't put your hand up, because I'm really... No, I'm kidding. It's on my bucket list. One day I'll get there.
Well, we did get snowed in for 4 days, so we got to stay
extra.
Oh, you did
too? Actually, I remember that. You did get snowed in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never... we always joke, don't we, between our families. There's nothing ever uneventful that happens in our families' lives. But we're going to go there really quickly this morning, Robin. You and your family, you have had lots of challenges, there's been lots of moments of disappointment, and you are incredible because you're here today, Robin. But I want you to share with us this morning one of the hardest challenges that you would have faced as a family, as a wife, as a mother, was losing your husband, Stephen. Are you able to share a little bit with us this morning?
Yeah. So I think thinking back, the loss and the grief of losing Stephen started before he died. You know, Stephen was sick for 3 years, on and off. He was in and out of hospital, and it was really hard, because when they finally diagnosed him with pancreatic cancer, he was given 3 months to live. And so one of the hardest things we had to do as parents was to tell the girls that, you know, their dad had terminal cancer, and we were thankful that we did get an extra 10 months with him. But, that was really hard. And in those 3 years, a lot of our emotional energy and time was just focused on keeping him out of pain, trying to make him better, trying to make him healthier, and really trusting and believing and praying that, you know, God was going to give us that miracle. And when he didn't, I just don't think I could, I just couldn't reconcile with, well, what do I do now? You know, like, anything I do today is not going to fix it. It's not going to bring him back. And I sort of lost purpose and what to do anymore. And really watching my girls go through that was just so hard. And I just wanted to take the pain away for them. And, you know, as any mum, you know that you just can't fix it for them, even though that's what you want to do. And so you really just have to walk alongside them and help them navigate. I think for them, the hard thing, they were teenagers, they were 13 and 16, and teenagers don't have that skill to know what to do with your friends whose dad died, you know. And so I think the girls really kept it to themselves, and so it wasn't awkward, you know, but it was really tough for them. Yeah.
I can imagine. And they're here this morning, and I just want to say, I'll get teary, but you girls, Britt and Tay, you are amazing women, amazing young women of God that, you know, losing your dad and the challenges as well that you've had, you've dug deep and you've stayed and you've kept trusting God through the difficulties, and you don't realise that the impact that you girls have had on people's lives around you and the next generation that are watching you and looking up to you. So thank you, girls. And thank you, Robin, too. In that, Rob, how did you navigate and process that grief and loss? Because it's not something that, it's not a quick fix, is it? Grief is not something that you can go, yeah, I'm through it. It's something that is a long process, and different emotions or different things would probably bring back up that grief and that loss.
Yeah, that's right. I think the main thing that helped me get through that time was not shutting myself off to people and staying approachable. Just on a little side note, you do have to have a bit of grace, because some people really say some dumb things.
It's like, we love people.
But you have to remember that their intent is really just to tell you that they care, you know. And I just allowed my friends and my family to speak into us and to be there and, you know, be there when we were sad, be there when we were angry, and be there when we had lots of laughs, actually, and talked about Stephen. And I think my friends and family, we all just really did the grieving journey together. And I think that was really good for the girls to see that they weren't going to be left on their own to do this.
There's so many of these wonderful people in this service today that have come around and supported your family. And it's so, even like Lizzie's story, it's just having your church family and friends that know you and love you, even when they say dumb things, right? They still love you and they know you.
We do laugh about it now.
We do, yeah. You need those things, don't you? And Robbie, your mum, and Mark spoke about her last week, beautiful Joan McCosker. She, do you know what, church, she made the yummiest slices. I think I ate too many of those over staff kitchen days when Robin would come with Joan's slices. But she too also had a journey of losing her husband young. And was there anything that you were able to learn or glean from your mum and her loss of processing your dad?
Yeah, well, my mum definitely was my inspiration. And my dad was 58 when he died of cancer. And mum and dad were a beautiful couple, very happily married. And he'd been sick for 6 years, so she'd done the same journey. And she just never gave up on life. She was always there for our family, do whatever it took for us. And really, she just then spent her time helping other people. And that's really what I saw, that she didn't give up on life. And she was an amazing person. And I really wanted to be that same example to my girls, that there is a hope and a future beyond the tragedy that they were going through. I want them to have a great life. I want them to have a fun life and a fulfilling life. And so you just had to get up to do that, you know, yeah. And go ahead.
And you know what, Robin? You totally do that. You've helped so many of us here in this room, hasn't she, church? Even just personally, but also for the church. You haven't wallowed in your grief. You've kept going. And I want you to tell us, because it is hard. Some of us, you know, we do parent. We get to parent with our husbands as well. But then there's some of us, there's just different seasons, and we have to solo parent. Mm. Is there anything that, or any challenges that you face having to solo parent now?
Yeah, I think the challenge that I faced the most that I was hard was, as a single mum, I would see the highs and the lows that my kids would go through in life, and I just, knowing that the only person that actually loved and understood my girls as much as me was Stephen. And so when something tough happened, I wanted to go to him and talk to him, you know. And when they did something that I was proud of, which were many times I was proud of my girls, and it was him that, you know, would have been proud as well. So I found that really lonely, you know, really lonely time. But God did always remind me that he actually loved my girls more than me, and he saw all those moments. Yeah.
That's so good to remind yourself that God does. He does love our children more than us. Some days I think, oh, thank you, God, because our children can be testing. We love them. And is there anything that you could, any tips that you could give to somebody here that might be having to do that parenting journey on their own?
Yeah, I think I realised very quickly that I could not be mum and dad. I really only knew how to be their mum. But staying connected to friends and church meant that they had some amazing men in their life that were role models. And they have been there from the very beginning, and they are still there. And people have come along the journey and just helped and been there for them. And I think, you know, even if it's not losing your partner, but just anything that you're going through, staying connected, you know, and then, you know, life doesn't always turn out the way we want it to. And I think sometimes if we just stop looking at how tough our life is, look around, be aware of people that you can actually help too. And being kind and thoughtful is actually really rewarding, and it gives you time to stop focusing on yourself sometimes, you know.
That's a really good thing, isn't it? Yeah. When you take your eyes off yourself and you can trust God, but also help those around you. Yeah. And just lastly, Rob, as we wrap up our beautiful cups of tea here, how did you keep going in God despite the disappointment? I know not only the passing of Stephen, you've had lots of other disappointments and challenges. How have you kept going?
Yeah, that's a really tough one, and it's not something that you make that one decision and it's settled. As Brooke said, we have faced a lot of disappointment, and you know, it's something that you have to keep deciding that that's what you're going to do. When Stephen was sick and people were praying and believing for that miracle and that healing, you know, when that didn't happen, I had to reconcile that with God. And I think the main thing was that I got caught up with was the why. And I just agonized over, why did this happen, God? Why did we have to go through, you know? And it just went on and on, repeat, you know? And I spoke to my good friend, Brad Hagen, who had gone through a similar experience, and it just helped me, because he just said he did the same thing, and he just said, you just gotta let go of the why. You know, you won't get an answer that you want. And so I think when I did that, it really helped me. And just choosing God, even when you don't feel like it. The girls came to me after Stephen died. It was a couple of weeks after, and we hadn't been back to church, and that's what we normally did every week. And they said, are we going to church today, Mum? And I knew that in my heart they weren't saying, are we attending church? I knew they were saying, through everything we've been through, are we going to follow God? Are we going to trust God again? And I did not, I had no intention of going to church that day. There was no way I was going and facing people, but I just had to, I just knew it was a defining time in my life and what I said was going to matter. So I just said, yeah, sure, we're going to go to church today. And it was really tough. But the next week they asked me the same question and I had to say yes. And we just keep choosing that, you know, because it just doesn't go away in 1 week or 2 weeks, you know. It's just a choice you've got to make, yeah.
And I think that's true as well of the why. Sometimes I don't think we'll ever get a why or understand this side of eternity, the why. And then when we are in heaven, I don't even know if we'll ask the why, because we'll just be in awe of the glory of God. And but Robin, I love that even though it was hard for you to push through, you did it. You kept trusting God, not only for yourself, but for your girls, and being such an amazing example of digging deep in God, even when you probably didn't feel like it, when it would have been easy to stay asleep on that Sunday morning, but you got up and you kept going. And I think that's a beautiful picture of earlier when we sang that song, "It Is Well." It's a beautiful picture of going, even though I probably don't feel like it, I'm going to push through and it is well with my soul, regardless of how your soul would have been feeling inside. And this morning, I'm actually going to ask Robin to pray, because I think we've all lived a lot of life and we all get disappointed or disheartened or challenges that come our way. And we probably do ask those why questions, but I'm going to ask Robin just to pray. You don't have to put your hand up this morning, because I just want you to have a little moment with God. And I'm going to ask Robin to pray for us if we're feeling disappointment or discouraged, or even if they're in that season of grief. I'd love for you to pray for everyone, Robin. Thank you.
Dear Father, we just thank you that you are a loving God, and you see and hear and know all our disappointments. And Lord, I just know that we can't change the circumstances, but I pray that that doesn't define our life. I pray that we will find you in amongst all that messiness. I pray that one day we can sing that it is well with our soul. And so, Lord, I just know that you can only do that with your love around us, Lord. And I just pray for everyone here that is struggling. I just pray that they will know there is a hope for the future.
Amen. And while every eye is closed, this morning I want to ask you, do you know your heavenly Saviour, Jesus? And you know what? He, in John 3:16, he loved you so much. He loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on that cross for you, that you could have eternal life, to have a relationship with your Lord and Saviour. And this morning, if that's you, and you might be feeling far away from God, or you might be having these different feelings stirring in your heart now, going, oh, look, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about my Saviour, Jesus. And if that's you, well, every eye is closed, I'd love for you to pop your hand up, and one of our team will see you and will pray with you this morning, and we'll give you a Bible and help you on that journey of taking that first step in knowing Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And God, I just thank you. This morning, God, I thank you that it is all about you. And right now, I actually want to pray for all of the beautiful women in the room, God. I just want to pray your blessing upon them right now, Father God. And those words that we've said this morning, that they are seen, God. Some of them feel like they're not seen in this season, God, or they're feeling like it's hard to get up and keep going. But you see them, Lord God. You call purpose, Lord God. You call future and a hope in them right now, Jesus. I just pray whatever season that they're finding themselves in, God, that you would be there right with them, Holy Spirit, walking alongside them, Lord God, that you would just pour out right now. Give them a word right now, Holy Spirit, whatever it is that they need to keep going, the word of encouragement, Lord God, to go, yes,
You are doing a great job. You are a great mother. You are a great mentor. You are speaking into the next generation. I thank you, God, for women, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for every single one of them here this morning. And I just pray you protect them, Lord, and I pray that you'd pour out your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Robbie. What a beautiful morning. I was going to say morning tea, but it wasn't a morning tea. You guys all sat there. It was so lovely hearing from Rob and from Lizzie, just with them just trusting God in their seasons, because we all go through different seasons. And the scripture that I wanted to share with you, and these women have really lived it out, and you got to see that this morning, was Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but always acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So some of us, we need to actually keep trusting God. Even though you don't know the why or you don't know the answer, keep trusting in God. Yes? Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macroylifechurch.com.au.